Welcome to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast with your host, Catherine M. White, founder and CEO of Accelerated Results 365. If you're an overachiever who's ready to hear what today's bleeding edge successful professionals are doing to create success in their business, you've come to the right place. On the show, Catherine interviews rockstar achievers who share their incredible tips, such as how they plow through roadblocks, outsmart the competition, grow a flourishing business, and reach unparalleled levels of performance. So kick back and get ready for a power-packed, insightful discussion with today's rockstar achiever.
We are very excited today to have a special guest, Lacey Liebecker, who is the owner of Cardus Winery, along with her husband and winemaker, Charlie Liebecker, on the beautiful north shore of Lake Chelan, Washington. Cardus Winery is a true family affair. Lacey, Charlie, and their two boys, Eugene, who is four, and Francis, who is two, contribute artwork for select artist series wine labels and are known around the tasting room as the winemaker and assistant winemaker. Lacey grew up on a farm in northwestern Minnesota and graduated from the University of Minnesota before moving to Seattle to embark on a career in marketing. She worked in the hospitality and event industries before she and her husband fell for making wine and then moved to the Lake Chelan Wine Valley area. On the side, Lacey dabbles in designing kitchen textiles with an emphasis on vintage-inspired goods. Welcome, Lacey. We're very excited to have you today.
Very excited to be here.
So I would love to hear about how you got into this industry.
That is a great question. I always, when people ask me, I tell them, I blame it on my husband's curiosity. I actually went on my first wine tasting tour when I was 19, in the Yarra Valley of Australia. I was there traveling for a few months and was just kind of a fun thing to do on the weekend and just really enjoyed it. And so when I, you know, graduated from college and moved out to Seattle, met my husband, you know, back in the day, pre-kids, you'd wake up on a Saturday morning and be like, what should we do today? Well, let's go wine tasting. Let's go check out the Woodinville wineries or the South Seattle Artisan wineries and go on a wine tasting tour. And it just kind of became something that we did fairly often. And, you know, my husband was just so intrigued by it and everything that went into the winemaking process. You know, he would be the one who, you know, if the winemaker was there, he'd be talking the winemaker's ear off and asking a million questions. And for the most part, they're all, you know, happy to share, which is awesome. But he was like, why is this Syrah so different from that Syrah? Was it the barrel? Was it the vineyard? Was it the yeast that was used? Was it, you know, this or that? And, you know, of course, with winemaking, it's all of those things. Which I think was the perfect industry for my husband because, you know, his sense of curiosity is, so to speak, never satisfied. Like, there's always something that you can figure out. You know, so, you know, he was curious about it. And we always talked about, you know, what's the big thing that we want to do with our life? And, you know, winemaking seemed to kind of fit with our vision as in terms of what we wanted to do, you know, the big thing. And so, you know, he, you know, asked if we could kind of make a small batch of wine, and we're obviously, yeah, let's go for it. And then he was just so excited about it. He's like, I want to do this again, and maybe one day we can start a winery. And I don't know, I'm kind of the pusher, and I'm like, why don't we just figure out how we can get started now? Just, you know, started digging through all these different things and, you know, realized we could convert our, you know, we didn't have a ton of money to throw into this. I mean, most people think you need a minimum of $1 million just to get started in the wine industry. But we got our garage converted into a licensed production facility, licensed and bonded, and scraped up some money to buy some used equipment and found somebody who would sell us some grapes to make wine. And we just got started. And it's been amazing because we've kind of slowly doubled our production every year, and we've been able to just kind of, you know, build up this business, and it's awesome. Sometimes I have to pinch myself looking back, but really just kind of one step at a time. Like, where are we and where can we, you know, get started from here?
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a very fascinating story.
Yeah.
And What are you most passionate about what you're doing?
Well, obviously, you know, my husband and I love wine and all the intricacies that go into making wine. And I'm more the foodie, so I love the whole idea of pairing food and wine. But the thing that I get most excited about, and I've worked in, both my husband and I worked in, you know, desk jobs. You're sitting at your desk and the most interaction that you have with someone is a phone call or an email back and forth. And my favorite part about working in the winery is working in the tasting room and just getting to meet so many people from, you know, around the area, around the state. And, you know, this region is growing as a wine valley, so we're seeing more people from around the country and around the world. And just connecting with people in, you know, they're on vacation, they're, you know, it's a kind of a relaxed environment, but just like building those relationships and connecting with people, you know, over a glass of wine or, you know, across the tasting room bar. And I just get most excited about that and just kind of sharing our passion and hopefully inspiring, you know, the people who are coming into our tasting room and, you know, inspiring them to kind of do big things with their lives as well. I know, yeah, it sounds kind of funny, but I absolutely love that aspect of that one-on-one relationship building with our customers.
Mm-hmm. So this is really a great tool for you to, as you said, be able to connect and with people and inspire others.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. So it's not just about the wine.
Yeah, I mean, wine is, you know, kind of the, you know, it's the glue, I guess. And we put so much work and energy into our wine, and so that is kind of the first and foremost thing. But, you know, the more that we do it and the more that we spend time connecting with other people, sometimes I feel like it's just this really amazing platform, so to speak, to inspire other people. Back in the day, I always kind of do a goal for the year, a theme for the year. And one of my themes for the year that has always stuck with me is, you know, I want to inspire and be inspired. And, you know, the winery is a really great platform for that, you know, to find inspiration, you know, through other people that we work with either in the industry or in the tasting room, you know, gain nuggets of inspiration and then also be able to just share what we do and love and provide inspiration to other people as well. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this would be a great time. Before we started the interview, I had asked you about the name of your winery.
Yeah.
I really love Cardus. I love the sound of it. It just sounds like a nice flow for this type of business.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea what it meant, but I would like you to share that with us. What does that mean, and how did you come up with that name?
Yeah, I'm sure. It's really hard to name a winery. I will throw that out there. Of course, everyone was like, why don't you just name it your last name? And I'm like, no, that just, like, it's cool and all, but, you know, that wasn't really what we wanted. You know, we didn't want to just throw up a name out there. So my husband, so Cardus, it's an Irish Gaelic word, and it means friendship or goodwill. And we just thought, you know, it's kind of this nod to my husband's Irish heritage and a word, you know, that we thought was fitting for a winery. Alliance is another meaning of the word, which, you know, the wine industry, there's so much camaraderie in the wine industry. So that word alliance is also very fitting. But yeah, my mom and I actually went to Ireland, probably 12 years ago. It was right when my husband and I first started dating, and it was kind of funny because I didn't know him at the time, but I kind of wanted to take a big trip that year. And so I said, hey, you want to come to Ireland with me? You know, to my husband, who I didn't know. And he was like, yeah, that sounds really fun. Not thinking anything of it. And in the meantime, I asked my mom if she wanted to come with me, which was great. It was amazing. I'm so glad I got to go on a trip with my mom. But of course I had started dating Charlie, and he was like, oh, you're going to Ireland without me. I can't believe it. But while we were there, my mom and I, in this little tiny town, came across, I'd never seen it before, but it's this ancient Gaelic written language called Ogham or Oum. I think there's a couple different ways you can say it, and it looks almost like little hieroglyphics. And it's all, you know, it's all carved into trees and whatnot. And I just thought they were so cool. I'd never seen anything like it. And so we had, I bought a few different ones. I bought Cardis, which is, you know, friendship, Gra, which is love, Sonus, which is happiness, and I think Grare, which is laughter. And it had like the little character, pinned onto the, you know, piece of paper. And we ended up incorporating, so of course when we were naming our winery, we, these were in our house, and we kind of kept coming back to these and just loved, that whole meaning. So we took that little ancient Gaelic character and, worked with a friend of ours who's a graphic designer, and he kind of incorporated that into our logo. So it's a kind of little subtle nod. But anyway, it's just, yeah, really, really kind of cool. It, you know, it's a word that, you know, just kind of gives us the warm fuzzies. So, we thought it was really fitting.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And especially as we listen to you talk about really your passion for connecting with people and being an inspiration and finding inspiration through your work that you do. And that name certainly is very fitting for what you do and what you bring to the industry.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Moving on, what would you say that you would attribute your success to as you've built up this business?
I think a huge part of, you know, staying successful for us, or becoming successful, is really, and we have to remind ourselves of this all the time, but really staying focused on what our vision is, and not, you know, kind of getting caught up in, you know, what the, you know, people think, oh, you need to make sweet wine because the market wants sweet wine, or you should have an event venue because your neighbors have an event venue. You should, you know, where's your cab? I should probably throw that out as well. We actually have a really focused niche. We only work with Rhone varietals. So that is our niche. That's our focus. So, you know, being able to kind of stay true to who we are and what we do in, you know, making the style of wine that we make and, you know, the way that we make the wine, and kind of being able to, yes, connect with, you know, people in the industry and whatnot, but also not being, I guess, distracted by what your, you know, so-called competitors are doing. We always joke that, well, I've read this somewhere, and so we kind of joke about it here, but, you know, when you're running a race, if you turn around and look at the runners behind you and beside you, you're probably going to trip and fall. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it's better to keep your eyes focused forward and, you know, run your own race. I feel like I'm kind of, you know, butchering that little story, but so yeah. whenever we get down and out about something, it's remember, you know, we're running our own race. So that's, I think a big thing. And again, we have, you know, another kind of piece of advice that I've heard once down the road is, you know, focus looks good on you. And when my husband and I, when we're focused on what we're doing and really passionate and, really kind of pay attention to, you know, the wine, which is kind of first and foremost, people see that and people are attracted to that. And I think that's really, really important piece of it. You know, I come from a marketing background and, you know, my husband and I were talking about this yesterday, like we could go out and do all the market research we want, but if we're not, you know, if in this particular business and, you know, size of business and whatnot, like if we're not, you know, being able to do the work and tell the story and, you know, be attractive, so to speak, we're not going to be successful. If we just kind of try and put out there what we think people want, how are we really setting ourselves apart? So it's just important, you know, first and foremost, just to focus on what we do and do it well. And, you know, we won't necessarily have something for everyone, but we're going to have everyone or everything for someone. So we're going to find those people that are interested in what we're doing and just really connect with those people.
Mm-hmm. I really love how you put that. We won't have something for everyone, but we will have everything for someone. Is that how you said it? That's great. I know that is a difficult piece in business, mm-hmm. is for a lot of people in making the decision on where is their focus. And you really said that nicely.
Thanks.
That, you know, don't get caught up in what does everybody want, but mm-hmm. focus on what it is that these particular people want and provide them with everything that they need.
Exactly. And I think that's really tough. That's something that we've, Charlie and I have just kind of fell into that, so to speak, but, you know, paying attention to other entrepreneurs and whatnot, I've kind of learned that along the way, that's, you know, the most important part. You think you need to branch out and, you know, have as many customers as you need. It's about the quantity, but really it's about, you know, it's about the quality. I mean, we have plenty of people who come into our tasting room and they're like, we'll take your sweetest white wine. And we're like, awesome. We don't make sweet wine. That's not really our focus. This is what we do. If you're not interested in that, that's totally fine. Let me tell you where you can go to find the wine that you're going to be the most, you know, interested in. But then we mm-hmm. do have people that are, you know, coming in the door and they're open-minded, or, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, I love Syrah and Grenache and Mourvèdre. Great. We'd love for you to, you know, try all of the wines on our tasting flight for today. And the biggest compliment that we get over and over again is, wow, I loved everything that I tried. And they say they can't say that at most wineries. They're like, oh yeah, I like this one, or I don't like that one. But they're, you know, over and over and over again, people are like, we love every single wine that we tried. And that makes us feel good because we feel like we're doing our job. Mm-hmm. And it's good when other people get excited about what we're doing as well.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. That would be exciting. So you, as you talked about your successes, you also mentioned a couple of what I would call roadblocks. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else any other roadblocks that you came across as you built your business that really brought challenges to creating what you've created?
Oh, man.
Where do you begin?
Where do we begin? I kind of want to throw it out there. I mean, we have on multiple occasions, you know, one of us will get frustrated with something that I mentioned before. And feel like we're not moving forward. And I feel like that's where my husband and I really balance each other out. If Charlie's down and out about something, I'll be the one to say, no, we have to keep going. We're going to get through this. We're going to find some money somewhere, you know, whatever the issue is. But it's like, no, we just have to keep going. But we prop each other up in that respect. And I think that's why we make such a good team. Like I mentioned before, I mean, we didn't have $1 million laying around to just, you know, throw at a winery. Like, we really had to scrape together from our own, you know, small personal savings. And the first 5 years of our business, we kind of tucked away a little bit from every paycheck so we could, you know, put it towards the winery. You know, we've slowly upgraded equipment. I mean, we've had, as we've increased production, so to speak, we could buy more fruit, but maybe we couldn't buy a new press. And so my husband is up until 3 o'clock in the morning pressing wine because we have this really tiny press that we have to do like 15 press loads. And it's like, don't worry, one day we can, you know, we'll be able to upgrade that equipment. And so, every year we try and figure out how we can make things a little bit easier and a little bit more efficient on the production side. Of course, as we can afford it, but it's those little kind of challenges and growing pains that you just kind of have to get through and just continue to see that there's, you know, light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that was another great example of the work and planning that you put into building a business, and it does pay off in the end. And I know a lot of people hit roadblocks like that and grow very discouraged and a lot of people feel that they can't pursue their dreams because, well, I don't have the money to do it. It takes money. And, and you've given such a beautiful example of starting off with just a little bit and work your way up. It doesn't happen overnight.
No. Yeah, we're in our eighth vintage. We just started our eighth harvest, which is crazy, kind of looking back and just kind of seeing how far we've come. And yeah, we feel like this year we're like, oh man, like we have a business. We're grown up, that we have a grown up business. Like, what, we really need to pay more attention. But yeah, no, it is amazing, like, how far you can come if you just put one foot in front of the other. Yeah, it's crazy. And I tell people all the time, because, you know, you'll be like, well, I can't do that. And we can't do that. I'm like, yeah, you can. You literally can start from wherever you are. All you need to do, I mean, go online and do a little bit of research, or talk to a friend who's in a similar business, or, you know, anything that you can do to just kind of get your wheels turning, you know, start turning and thinking about, you know, the future and really kind of thinking about what that looks like. And then, honestly, kind of tucking that away at the same time, and then just focus on the one thing at a time. Like, what can I do today that's going to get me closer to, you know, the next part of this big vision that we have? And I don't know. I literally have to pinch myself sometimes, because we have this gorgeous piece of property now that we. You know, we're like, okay, we need a house. We need acreage because we want to plant some vines. And, you know, this was in our fourth or fifth year of the winery, and, you know, here in Lake Chelan. And we need a building to do production. Like, that's all we need. We don't need anything fancy. We just want to get there. And we found this amazing piece of property with a gorgeous view of the water that was within our budget. And, you know, there was a couple things. So, like, this year we just finished planting vines. We had to build a second barrel house because there really wasn't a big enough facility on the property to do production. But we live here as well. Our house is on the property. We have plans to build another kind of bigger tasting room. But it's like we're making it work as we go. But I sit out on our front patio and I look at our little vineyard and the lake and the mountains. We actually have a view of the lake. Like, that wasn't even on our wish list, but but I look at that and I think, yeah, like, this is totally what Charlie and I dreamed of, like 8 years ago. And we are here. And obviously, like, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done, but, this is it. Like, this is pretty amazing. Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, how can we dream bigger? How can we keep moving forward and, come up with something even more fabulous and great? And I don't know. It's cool. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. And you always need to be dreaming bigger, right?
Yeah.
Always looking for the next step.
Yeah. I read something or heard something recently. It was, if your goal for your life isn't intimidating, then it's not, if it doesn't scare you, then it's not big enough. Like, it's not, if you feel comfortable with, you know, what you're dreaming about, then it's, you know, it's insulting to the universe, so to speak. Yeah, no, it's always important to dream really big and have, like, a stretch goal and be a little afraid and feel like you're taking a risk. Because, like you mentioned before, I mean, that's really where you get your greatest reward. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Very, very awesome tips that you've shared with us. And one more thing that I would like to hear about, because family is important to me. My family is my passion, and they are what drives me. And I love that you and your husband have made this a, as you stated, a family, true family affair, and you've incorporated your boys in building this dream of yours. And so you found ways that they can do that. And for them, it has to do with artwork. So I would like to hear a little bit more about what that is.
Sure. So, you know, we had, let's see, we started the winery. Some people think they're like, what were you thinking? You know, having babies and starting a business at the same time. I don't know if we were, but we're like, we're just going to do what we need to do and get started now. But yeah, we had, so we have Francis, who's going to be 3 in December, and Eugene, who's going to be 5 in December. And I really hope they don't take this whole, their childhood for granted growing up in a winery, but they absolutely love it. They know exactly what mommy and daddy do. They, you know, make wine and work in the tasting room and whatnot. But last year we decided to, kind of incorporate some things from the boys a little bit more. And so we started an artist series. So all of our limited release wines or our special release wines, we, turned our boys' artwork into the labels. So we have a couple of artist series labels that we have on our wines that are from the boys. And it's so funny. The first label that we put on was from our oldest son, Eugene. And he was like, why is my drawing on a wine bottle? Because we think it's really cool and we wanted to show everybody. And now he'll draw something and he'll show it to us and he'll be like, Mom, don't you think this would look really great on a wine bottle? And so, yeah, so now they're, you know, trying to get their artwork on the label. But yeah, no, they're involved in that way. If you come into our tasting room, you will know that it's all about family. All of the pictures on the wall are pictures of our boys sitting on wine barrels. There's a picture of Francis and I planting one of the first rows of vines in our vineyard. We have a picture of my husband's great-grandma, who we named one of our wines after, who's turning 90 this year. It's a super cute picture of her and our youngest son, Francis. But it, you know, really is all about family. And, you know, we let the boys know about the process as well. And it's so cute. So when Eugene's out in the tasting room, he's going to be the businessman. He's like handing business cards out to everyone and making sure everyone has a glass of water. And he calls it organizing the selling table. We have like a little bit of merchandise in like a certain corner and he likes to organize that. I have to reorganize it, but I don't let him know that. And then Francis, our youngest son, he's like on dad's heels out in the barrel house. And he's like, Dad, what's this for? What do you do with this? What's in this barrel? What's in that barrel? And just really curious about the winemaking side. And I know they're super young and it'll probably change through the years. But, of course our boys can do whatever they want to do, but it would be the, you know, ultimate treasure to be able to pass this along to them. So, that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. And regardless of what they will do in the future when they grow up, the skills that you are teaching them are incredible, and the confidence that you are giving them through incorporating them in this business and marketing and showing their artwork, what an incredible opportunity to build their confidence and just to prepare them for the future for whatever they end up doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I hope that they know, well, Mom and Dad started this from scratch, so I can, you know, it means I can go out and do anything. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. Wonderful. Well, it has been such a pleasure to speak with you and to get to know you and the process that you've been through and the success that you've created. I really love the many tips that you have shared and very great tips that many people will be able to glean from and be inspired by. And you said that you like to inspire people. Well, you have definitely shared a lot of information, a lot of inspiring information.
Thank you for tuning in to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast. If you are looking to reach new levels of success by plowing through your roadblocks, outsmarting your competition, growing a flourishing business, or reaching unparalleled levels of performance, go to www.acceleratedresults365.com or email Catherine at Catherine@acceleratedresults365.com and learn how you can get started with Accelerated Results 365 today.